Welcome to episode 17 of Practical Defense, Knives and Knife Attacks. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. And this week, we're going to go over knives and knife attacks, where you might come across them, what they might look like, and a couple of options on how to protect yourself against them. Some of you might have noticed that this is the third episode that I've done that has contained knives in it. Well, there's a good reason for that. Knives are very, very common, and knives are really, really dangerous. And a lot of people don't understand actually how lethal that they can be. Knives are the most common weapon used in conflicts, and the most common weapon used in robberies. So having a good understanding of them can help you protect yourself, and that's what we're all about, is practical defense and protection. Now, before we get into the actual knife attacks and knife defenses and what you need to look for, I want to make sure that people understand the legal ramifications of this. Anytime that you carry a weapon for defense, you are legally responsible for your actions. Well, actually, you're responsible, always responsible for your actions. But when it comes to using a weapon, it's treated very seriously and very differently in the eyes of the law. So what you want to do is you want to go back and listen to our episode on the use of force ladder so that you kind of get an idea, an understanding, a basic understanding of the complications that can arise and what you can do and what you can't do when you're faced with an assailant. And you also, if you have any questions, because laws vary, vary greatly between county, city, state, and country, you want to seek out your local certified legal advisor. Okay, so let's get into the actual discussion of knives. Now, in this episode, when I say knife, I mean any edged weapon or puncturing weapon. Now, this can be, you know, a box cutter, it can be a straight razor, it can be a sharpened anything. It could be a sharpened screwdriver. In fact, in some cases, in some parts of the world, that actually is a very common weapon. Is they just take a screwdriver and they sharpen it to a point and they use that as a puncturing weapon. And it can also include any of the various forms of shanks that, you know, you might find on a prison yard. Now, the thing with knives is that, as I said earlier, they are the most common weapon used in assaults. And it's because they are very, very easy. Easy to handle, easy to hide, they're small, and they're extremely effective. So just about any thug on the street that you're going to come across, or even any transient, is probably going to have some sort of weapon on them. And that weapon is most likely going to be a knife. Now, when carrying knives, all weapons, about 90% of them, are all carried at the waistband. And this is for a couple of reasons. And one of the reasons is that it's a very easy place to grab from. That's why gun holsters are there and you have your pockets right there. So the knife is in the pocket. So it'll be somewhere on the hip. So if you're in a conflict situation and someone flashes, you know, see a hand flash to their hip, you should think to yourself immediately, they might be pulling a weapon. Now, we instinctually become very weapons focused in a conflict situation. So if somebody pulls a gun on you and puts a gun in your face, you're going to see nothing but the gun. I mean, when the police interview afterwards, you know, they're going to say, well, what did he look like? He had a great big gun. Okay, so what color was his hair? The gun was black. What was he wearing? What was his shoes? Did he have an accent? The gun was huge. You know, you're just going to be focused so much on the gun, you're not going to see anything beyond it. And similarly with knives, we get the same way with a knife. And the problem with knives is that they are fast slashing and puncturing weapons. And if you try and focus on them, you can get hypnotized by them and you just get cut up. And also, often, you know, knives attacks are really super fast. I mean, they last between 5 and 10 seconds. So there's no way that you're going to actually be able to follow it. So if instinctually you are trying to follow this weapon with your eyes and you're getting distracted, all you're doing is standing there and getting cut up. Now, our second rule of defense is that distance is your friend. Now, I say second rule because our first rule, of course, is awareness. And you want to be aware of what's going on. You want to be aware of your situations, and you want to avoid the situations at all costs. It's far better to be away from danger than to find yourself in it and then trying to work your way out of it. But in this case, in these scenarios, we're just going to assume that you were trapped. There was something that happened and you were just not able to avoid it. Either you're with somebody that you can't leave, they sprung something on you, or, you know, you just had a run of bad luck. But when it comes to knives, distance is your friend. You know, knives, you actually have, they're attached to somebody. So the person has to be within striking distance in order to actually connect with it. It's called a contact weapon. Now, the misunderstanding with knives is that they're not lethal at just the range that you actually get touched with. They can actually be lethal at 21 feet. And I'm not referring to being thrown. We're going to talk here again, and this is something I've covered in a previous episode in a little bit, and it's called the Tueller Drill. And this was developed by a police officer, I think he was in Colorado. And it basically, the studies that he ran determined that you can die to a knife attack starting at 21 feet. So the person's within 21 feet, they can actually close that distance and hit you with a knife in less than a second and a half. So that's something that needs to sink in, is that you don't, the person does not have to be in your face in order to stab you with a knife. They can get to you at 21 feet or 7 meters in less than a second and a half. And that, of course, is assuming that it's a clear space. Now, if there are a lot of people or seats or trees or shrubs or something in the way, it'll take a little bit longer. But the rule of thumb, based on the Tueller Drill, is 21 feet or 7 meters. So what does a knife attack actually look like? Now, early on in the series, we had an interview with Bram Baker, who actually had an actual knife conflict where somebody pulled a knife on him. And it was after a long chase after the person had stolen some things from a store that he was working in. And the guy pulled it out from a bag, which is uncommon. And then he also did a standard overhead ice pick strike, again, which was uncommon. So unfortunately, Graham was able to grab hold of him and restrain him and cuff him and then waited for the police to arrive. In most cases, that is not the way it's going to happen. And all other cases that I've spoken with people that have had these knife conflicts, it happens instantaneously. They don't know that they're getting cut until they're actually getting cut. It happens just really, really quickly. Now, a friend of mine I trained with, he was from England, and he got into a bar fight, basically. And the person got up to him and got close, and then it was just a series of flashes. And then his face was burning and cut, and he was cut, and he was bleeding profusely. He never even saw the knife. And that's very, very common for these types of strikes, is that you never actually see it. And he was very, very lucky that he didn't lose any of his eyes. He showed me pictures of his face that they took the day after. And he had slices across his eyebrows, across his cheeks, and several across his nose, down his lips, and went well across his forehead. He is just amazingly lucky that it didn't go in and actually take out his eye. And what happened here, it was in a bar situation. The guy walked up to him, got in his face, and he wasn't looking down. He was looking at the guy in the face. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, slashes, just a flurry across his face, and he was cut. And that is very typical for these types of slashing attacks to the face. Another common one that you'll find with gang members and people who've been in prisons is what we call the pump and dump. And what these do is these are puncturing attacks. And what they do is they walk up to you, and then they have one hand back, their weapon side back, and they grab hold of you, and they pull you in, and they just start pumping their arm like a piston or like a sewing machine, and just pound your belly with a puncturing weapon. It's pump, 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 pump. And then they throw the weapon away and walk away. And then in the case of prisons, what happens is then somebody else comes across very, very quickly after the action and grabs the weapon and disappears with it. And it goes away, and then there's no evidence. In situations that you might find in battle areas, like in Iraq or Afghanistan, what happens is they pump the weapon, and they stab you a bunch of times, and they toss it, and then somebody else, you know, sometimes even a child, will run by and pick up the weapon, and again, it disappears, and there's no evidence, no weapon. One of the other tactics they use, instead of just walking up to you and pumping you, is they'll do a preemptive strike. They'll actually come up and either kick you in the groin, stomp on your leg, or do some sort of strike to your face. And that gets you distracted, and you think, oh wait, you know, here comes a punch, the guy's trying to punch me. And then, boom, out of nowhere, here comes the knife, and he starts pumping you. And when it comes to knives, not all of the attacks are intended and designed to be lethal. You know, sometimes they just want to cut you in order to scare you or push you away or get you to leave their neighborhood. And one of the things that Jim teaches in the reality-based classes is called the Gypsy Warning Stab. And what this is they take a puncturing weapon and they put their finger down on it so that about 1 inch of the blade is exposed and is available. And then they just walk up to you and then they punch it into you just far enough that it touches their finger. So you get about a 1 inch stab, which generally speaking isn't lethal, but it is extremely painful and will cause you to bleed profusely. But it's just not to kill you, it's just to get out of my neighborhood or get out of this bar or I don't like you and I don't want to see you again. But in the eyes of the law, as soon as you draw a weapon and as soon as you attack somebody with a weapon, you're on the felony assault rung of the use of force ladder, and it's treated as a deadly attack and will be prosecuted as such. Now, because of the speed that knife attacks happen, it's very, very hard to see them coming. I mean, when you're fighting somebody, you can see the elevation come up and you can see the fists clench and you can tell by body language that something's going to happen. If you fight in tournaments a lot, before they do a certain kick or before they do a certain strike, you notice that they have some sort of action that they do first. And these are called tells or telegraphing when the action's going to come. When it comes to weapons, it's very, very hard and there's really very little time to react. But there are a couple of things that you can do and you can look for when somebody's coming up to you. One of these things is that they have their one side, one hand down and back. Down and back behind them. And usually this is the weapon side. Now, the majority of people are right-handed, so if somebody comes up to you and they're kind of standing to the side with their left side forward, and they have their right hand down at their side against their belt, against their thigh, or even a little bit behind their back, they're trying to shield something from you, that's a very good indication that there is a weapon in that hand, either right now, or that they're going to be drawing a weapon from their pocket very, very quickly. The other thing is, the complement to that is that they have the left hand or the front hand up. Now this is either in, you know, like a standard block, or they have the hand up, or they're going to do the preemptive strike, or they're going to do something to distract you with the forward hand while the back hand comes out with a weapon and starts striking. Okay, so here we are at the nitty-gritty. What can you do when someone is trying to stab you? And unfortunately, because of the speed and the ferocity that these attacks happen in, there's really not all that much you can do. There are a couple of things that you can do to minimize the damage. But in, you know, a knife fight, the reality is that you're going to get cut. You know, there's a saying when it comes to knife fights. In a knife fight, one person goes to the hospital and the other person goes to the morgue. That's true in a lot of cases, but the meaning behind it is that you're going to get cut. And it's not going to be pleasant, and it's going to hurt a whole lot, and you're going to be bleeding. But what you want to do, in all cases, is try and minimize that damage as much as possible. So, distance is your friend. You want to create as much distance as possible, and you want to slap the weapon away. Remember that the attack is not going to be what we see a lot of the times in traditional martial arts, where it's, you know, a lunge attack and the person in your, you know, your training partner sticks your hand out there and lets you do this grab and that wrist twist and that takedown and that disarm, and then they stab you with the knife that you attack them with and all these other fancy things that I've been trained and taught to do over years and years and years. On the street, that those things don't work. It's too fast. It's too aggressive. They don't leave their hand out for one strike. They put their hand out, and they're going to bring it back as fast as they can. They want to keep that weapon. They do not want to give it up. So they're going to have a good, firm grip on it, and they're going to pull it back, and they're going to pump it. They're going to go pump, 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 in and out, as fast as they can. So grabbing it is going to be extremely difficult and very dangerous. So what you want to do is you want to create distance. You want to get away from the knife. You want to slap at the arms with both hands, and this is hard to explain, you know, just over pure audio without having any sort of visual. But what you want to do is you want to slap at the arm and just keep it at bay. You know, it's like touching something hot. You want to go whack, you know, whack, whack, and keep moving. Don't stand there. Move, move, move. So it's whack the arm away, both hands, not just one, both hands. Keep whacking it and moving until you can get away and run. Yes, when you slap at the blade, yes, you might get cut, but you can survive cuts to your hands and arms. What you can survive are puncture and slash wounds and deep and gouging wounds to your organs, your heart, your liver, your kidneys, your lungs, those types of things. They can't take those hits. Your hands and your forearms can. So that's where you want to keep those out there as a shield against your body and use them to buy you time, as much time as possible, to get away. Now, there is one case and one case only that you actually try and grab the attacking arm. And that's if there is no escape. There is no immediate way out. And this is for very close quarters types of situations where you're in a back room, you're up against a wall or a corner in a wall, and these types of things. In which case, you want to take distance away from the person. So it's a little bit different than before, because before you're trying to create distance so you can run away. What you're trying to do here, because you don't have the distance and there is no place to get away immediately, you want to actually close the distance. In some cases, being closer is actually safer. In the case of these knife attacks, closer is safer because you want to take away that pumping action. So when the knife draws back and he's pumping it, you want to keep the knife back so that he can't pump it into you a second time. So what you have to do here is you have to grab hold of the arm, both hands. And it's not going to be perfect. You're not going for just the wrist or just the elbow or just the forearm. You can't be that specific. Remember, these attacks are 5 to 10 seconds long. So what you need to do is you just need to grab and grab hold. And yes, it's possible that with one hand you might actually grab the blade. It's just the way it's going to be. This is an ugly, dangerous situation, and you're not going to come out clean and unscathed. So you want to grab the arm, the forearm, maybe the elbow, whatever. You want to grab and you want to hold on. You then want to close the distance. You want to get in close, shoulder to shoulder with them, so they can't pump you. And then you want to move, position, you know, kind of a dance around type deal, and then try and kick his leg out, and then run. And that's it. Once he's on the ground, get away. Again, it's a little harder to scream over to explain over pure audio, but I think you can kind of pick up the gist of it. Grab hold tight. Do not let go. Do not readjust your grab. When you've got a hold of him, don't let go. Close the distance. You want to do some sort of takedown maneuver, a leg sweep, a stomp, something, get him on the ground, and then you want to turn and get away to the one opening that he came through or where it is. You don't want to struggle with him on the ground. You want to try and stay upright while he is the only person on the ground, and you do not want to bother trying to disarm him. He's on the ground, you let go, and you bolt. And hopefully, that will minimize the damage to you in a situation where you don't have a lot of room to move around in. Well, in summary, we have knives are more lethal than you think. And knife attacks are treated very seriously under the laws. And what you need to do is you need to check your local laws and ordinances to find out what is legal for you to carry if you decide to carry a knife. And remember the Tula drill, that knives are lethal at 21 feet or 7 meters. And that most weapons are carried at the waistband. And knives are fast, deadly attacks that last less than 10 seconds. You know, 5 to 10 seconds. It's not a long, drawn-out, fancy dueling thing that you see in the movies. And that when it comes to knives and weapons, body and hand positions can be a broadcast of a potential incoming weapon strike. If they keep their hand, you know, one hand up and then the other hand back behind and down, it could be an indication that there's a weapon. And when it comes to knives, distance is your friend. And if you have an escape route, what you want to do is you want to slap that attacking arm away from you, keep it at distance as much as possible, and get out of there. Don't try any fancy moves. But if you don't have an immediate escape route, what you want to do is you want to grab the arm, close the distance, perform some sort of takedown, whatever you've been trained to do, a takedown, and then run away. You do not want to struggle over the weapon in some sort of fancy disarm move. You want to grab, close, takedown, and run away. And ultimately, you really just need to be careful out there. You know, and I can't stress enough how dangerous knives are and how you just want to avoid them entirely. And, you know, there is no perfect answer, and every situation is different. But hopefully our discussion here today will give you a little bit of insight on how these, you know, attacks happen, maybe some pointers on how to see a potential attack coming in, and then a few techniques to help you get out of the situation with the least amount of damage as possible. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.
Kevin MacLeod.